The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello, this is Paul Orlowski once again, joining you at the same time on Sunday afternoon. AM 1260 The Rock is our station, and of course, that's Cleveland Catholic Radio. The name of the show, God Calling. And Mike Helsisko is joining us today. Mike's a single guy, but very involved in education and lives his faith. Mike, first of all, you got that holy name shirt on.
Paul, it's an honor to be here at The Rock. I'm honored. Go Namers.
There you go. You're not married. Do you ever tire of something? You'll find somebody.
You know something, I've kind of like dedicated myself to Jesus Christ, and I've kind of consecrated myself to the Blessed Virgin Mary. At one point in my life, I wanted to be married, and there was also a point in my life when I wanted to become a Brother of Holy Cross. Mm-hmm. So I visited the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana at Columba Hall, and I went on a retreat there, and I felt like my calling was to serve, but not serve in a religious community. So what I did is I ended up becoming a Benedictine oblate through St. Andrew's Abbey in Cleveland, through Benedictine High School. And I went through their novitiate program for about 2 years, and I lived the role of St. Benedict in the world. And basically, we focus on the tool of good works, where you never nurse a grudge, you never speak ill of others, you don't have any deceit in your heart. If people curse you, don't curse them back, but pray for them. You try to model Benedictine spirituality in the world. And that's how I pretty much live my life.
That's a tough road to hoe.
Well, you know something, in order to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, you really have to be dead to yourself to experience the true divinity of Jesus Christ. And you've always got to tell yourself that this is temporary. What you see around you is temporary. And true love is with Jesus Christ in heaven. Okay, that's perpetual love, and that lasts forever. And I always tell my students, what you see around you is temporary. You know, you're striving. If you look at the cross, Paul, we are a community of believers. You got a horizontal and you got a vertical. We are a community of believers working together, striving to get to heaven, which you'll have the greatest love ever, which is perpetual love with Jesus Christ. And I've told myself that. You know, I'm 53 years old, and I've had my bumps, you know, bumps in the road, but I've overcame them, and it's through my Catholic faith. My Catholic faith keeps me grounded, keeps me strong. I know I have the sacraments. Every Sunday is the Eucharist. That is so powerful, the Eucharist, because, you know, remember what Christ says, those that drink my blood and eat my body will have perpetual life with me. And you also have the sacrament of reconciliation. There are so many graces in the Catholic Church when it comes to the sacraments. You're constantly sharing in God's life. Mm-hmm. And I told myself that, you know, I'm striving to get to heaven. True divinity is with Christ. True love is with Jesus Christ. And I always tell my students, Christians are in the world, not of the world. It's just that we have to get through this. Think of the cross. We're in this together, and we're all striving to get to heaven, the vertical.
You know, I had an experience after the pandemic when they started, we could receive the Eucharist again. I had tears in my eyes. I never want to lose that feeling again.
Absolutely.
It had been a couple of months. I don't remember how long, but it was too long. And I never want to lose that feeling.
You know what it is? It's with the community. It's with the people you go to church with, the people that you develop fellowships with and friendships. You miss that part.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eucharist, absolutely, I felt the same way. But what I try to do is I try to, you know, watch it online, watch the Mass online, but it's not the same. It's not the same being there in the church, you know, in front of the Eucharist, the tabernacle, and experiencing that mystical feeling that you're with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is right in front of you, and he's present in that church.
This morning, in fact, we have a drive-through tent for those who can't attend Mass, and so they drive through, and being a Eucharistic minister, and, you know, they sanitize the hands, give them the Eucharist, and off they go, you know. But not everybody has the facilities to do that. And I think there's maybe some disagreement if you should do it, but it's been a great success. And I'll
tell you, the way the Diocese of Cleveland has handled this has been wonderful. You know, the way the bishop's leadership, priest, I think we're all in this together. I think, you know, when it comes to getting through this pandemic, we are a community that's together. And the only way we're going to get through this is being together. You can't do this alone. You can't overcome this pandemic alone.
And you're right on the leading edge of it, being in education.
Well, I'll tell you, the way the Holy Name's done it, we have a very excellent administration with our principal, Karen Carter, President Blanc, assistant principal, Mr. Dodds, assistant principal, Mr. Sullivan. I look at it as we are Holy Name. We're in this together. And it's the administration, the faculty, the staff, the facilities, and the heart and soul of that school are the students. And we've been in school. We've been in school since September 9th, but there's three types of learning styles. You have in classroom with about 25 students. Then you have your e-learners, which are you have a camera on you with a clip mic, and they're on a smart board. So it's virtual learning. And then you have your asynchronous learning, which is more Google Classroom, where you have to sign three assignments per week just in case of a shutdown. And we've been in school every day. Holy Name has done it right with the great leadership that we have at the school. And everybody, our motto at Holy Name is we are in this together.
Do you notice difference in the kids at home? Maybe have to work a little harder to stay up?
The kids at home, they're doing the best they can, and I really admire that because it's not easy. It's not easy to do at home, but they're in uniform, and it's just like they're in the classroom. You know, they're part of it. They're part of the school community.
No pajamas eating a bowl of
Cheerios. No pajamas. They're in shirt and tie, and they're representing Holy Name as a namer.
That's an aggressive approach.
I'll tell you, it's great leadership. Mrs. Carter and the entire administration – and even my boss, Mary Wallace, the entire theology department has pulled together all the teachers at Holy Name. You can't take on a task like this during these times and do it by yourself. You just can't. And the motto at Holy Name is we are in this together.
What brought you to the whole practice, the way you decided to live your life, and then what parish were you born in?
I would say my role models were my mom and dad. My father is Catholic. My mother's Catholic. Went to St. Prokrups. I'm Slovak and Italian, and my parents sent me to Corpus Christi Elementary School. And those were my formative years. And we had the Polish Joes, the Sisters of St. Joseph. And I always try to model Sister Helene. Just a very, you know, when you're growing up, the adults in your life form your life. And there was this phenomenal nun, Sister Helene and Sister Frances Claire. And the way this woman carried herself, how she modeled herself, I said, I want to be like her someday. She was always kind. And I remember she said, the three things to being successful in society is the first to be kind, the second is to be kind, and the third is to be kind. And everything will come into place if you're just kind to people. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me. She said to us, if you model Jesus Christ and you walk in those footsteps of Christ, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Just like you're going to experience suffering. And who experienced the greatest suffering ever is Jesus Christ on the cross. You're going to carry a cross with you, okay? But you have to model Christ. And she told me at a young age, perpetual life is with Jesus Christ, and it just stuck with me. And that's what got me into the Catholic faith was the positive role models that I had in my life. My parents sending me to a Catholic school and giving me those the sacraments and the individuals, I call them angels that came in my life, like Sister Helene, like Sister Frances Claire, like Sister Mary Ann, you know, like Mrs. Hartman. All, you know, I remember these teachers, Mrs. Streck, Mrs. Krupinski, Father Joe Jerzynski, Father Mike Dirtz, Father Ron, Father Damien Beloga, they were the heroes in my life. And that's how I wanted to model my life.
We'll be back about 2 minutes on God Calling. Mike Pelsisko, our guest, and Mr. Holy Name.
Go Namers.
Go Namers. Stay with us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, God Calling, the name of the show, and Mike Pelsisko is our guest. Something that I was primed to ask you about was a real journey you took. Tell me about it. And it's a movie made about the Way.
Very powerful, very mystical. The way I got introduced to the Camino Francés was I went on a retreat, and I went on a retreat at St. Ignatius High School. And I teach in this program on Saturdays called the Magis Program. I've been doing this for 11 years. And it was a faculty retreat. It's a Saturday school program. It's for inner city kids that want to attend St. Ignatius High School, and it's called Saturday School. That's all it is. And then I work there in the summer. I work part-time in their summer enrichment program. The retreat facilitator showed this movie called The Way with Martin Sheen, and it's based on a pilgrimage called the Camino Francés. And what the Camino Francés is a 500-mile pilgrimage from Saint-Jean-de-Port, France, to Casa de Santiago, Spain, The Shrine of St. James. And this movie is based on a broken relationship with a father and a son. And this young man, Emilio Estevez, is trying to find himself. You know, what's his purpose to a life? What's the meaning to life? And I think each and every one of us, when we look in the mirror in the morning, sometimes you think, what's the meaning to my life? You know, why does life have its peaks and valleys? So I saw this movie and it started out really slow and then it really kind of like touched my heart. Like we have holes in our heart. And what happens in the movie is this young man dies in the Pyrenees Mountains. And the father, they really didn't have the greatest relationship. It wasn't a strong relationship. So Martin Sheen decides to finish this pilgrimage for his son because his son left medical school and was saying, you know, Father, medical school is just not for me, Dad. I need to go into the world and see what's my meaning to life. I need to find myself. Mm-hmm. I need to liberate myself. So Martin Sheen goes on this pilgrimage and goes all the way to St. John Pied-de-Port, France. And he says, I'm going to finish this pilgrimage to honor my son. And he experienced great loss. And on a pilgrimage, it's a very mystical, powerful experience. You feel very liberated. We're all wounded in some way. When Martin Sheen lost his son, I lost my sister and my father, and I had these two holes in my heart. And I kind of buried those holes. And I'm thinking, I've really got to close these holes. Because this movie made me start to, like, think, you know, like, gosh, you got these holes in your heart, and you kind of buried them. You really need to pay tribute to your deceased father and your deceased sister. My father died of lung cancer. My sister died of a heroin overdose. Did they suffer in life? Absolutely, they suffered. So I told myself, I am going to do this. And this was like October of 2016. Mm-hmm. So that week, I bought a ticket. I was going to go from Toronto Pearson International Airport, and I went with my cousin Annie and Lou, her husband. And what we did is we drove to Toronto Pearson International Airport. We flew to North Carolina. We flew to Madrid, Spain, to Biarritz, France, took a bus to Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, France. Took about 36 hours to get there. Wow. We started our pilgrimage. So then you start the next day, and you start in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, France. You follow these arrows. You got a map. You got a guide. And you're walking. You're just walking. And the terrains are mountain ranges, the meseta, the desert. You're going through a desert. You're challenged along the way. Just mm-hmm. like in life, you're challenged. And a lot of peaks and valleys. And they say the spirit of the Camino will guide you. And you meet all these people from all over these world that help you get through this Camino. Because it's hard. It's raining. You're dealing with the weather. You're dealing with the terrain. You're dealing with the elements, the heat. And you're just walking. You have no worries in the world. And people come out of nowhere and they encourage you to walk. And there was many times where I felt like quitting. But what kept me going is when you feel abandoned and helpless, that's when Jesus Christ is right next to you, Paul. And I thought of my sister and I thought of my father. And I started praying the rosary that I'm going to get through this. Now, along the way, I had 9 blisters and 2 toenails fell off.
Oh, dear.
You stay in
500 miles.
500 miles, 31 days, not one break. You stay in hostels, you stay in albergues, and you develop a community, like a family, your Camino family. People from Europe, from Asia, all over the world, South Africa, South Korea. And you develop this community of pilgrims. You're a pellegrino. And you develop this bond, and everybody has a reason why they're there. Like I met German Mike, and his wife left him, so he decided to walk. He decided to liberate himself and find what was the reason for this, okay? And it's really a God calling.
Are there religious stops along the way? Or
There are many religious stops. The way the albergues goes, there's religious hostels. Like I went to the Cathedral of Lyon. I went to the Cathedral of Burgos. Beautiful cathedrals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very mystical, powerful experience because it breaks you and build you, just like life breaks you and builds you. And the easy thing to do is quit, because anybody can quit a tough situation. But what kept me going is my father and my sister were walking right with me. And Jesus Christ, I always feel when you're abandoned and helpless, who experienced the most suffering? Jesus Christ on that cross. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And it was a very mystical, powerful experience. And I would recommend if you really want to be liberated in life, because when you're on the Camino, you're free. You have no worries of the world. You just feel free. You feel so liberated. You feel God. You feel Christ. You feel the mystical presence, the spirit of the Camino. And you feel Jesus Christ getting you through life itself, because you're going through 3 mountain ranges, a desert. You've got urban setting, got like suburban setting. I can't say how powerful it was for me. And it was probably the greatest experience of my life. It really brought me closer to the faith, to Jesus Christ. I was always there in the faith, but this like took me like I had that like Christ experience where I know in life, you know, you're going to suffer. But when you suffer sometimes, you know what's important, your family, your friends, and your church and your community.
Sounds like the lessons learned or the experiences there you brought back with you. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Folks, stay with us. We're with Mike Pelsisko on AM 1260 The Rock. The name of the show, God Calling. My name is Paul Orlowski. The name of the show, God Calling. And Mike Pelsisko is joining us today. Mike, you had this tremendous pilgrimage. How do you share that with your students? How do you let them know that experience and strive to experience something similar in their lives?
I know young people and I know friends and people go through a lot of peaks and valleys in life. They have their lows. And I try to do a witness, like a living witness of just what I went through. I actually broke down. You cry on this trip because you're in a lot of pain and you start thinking about your life and you're trying to find the meaning to life. And I always tell my students, you know, life can be very hard. It is very hard, but anybody can quit a tough situation. So I try to share my experiences because in life, you know, you're going to face situations, you're going to face barriers, you're going to face obstacles. You can't quit on yourself. You just can't quit because that's so easy. The easy thing in life is to quit, and we fall in that trap. We're all in this together. Life is not meant to be isolated or to be alone. You've got to rely on other people. And I tell my experiences of how certain pilgrims, I was walking for miles, and someone comes out of nowhere and just starts talking to you and say, you can do this, you can do this. People start giving you food on the Camino because if you're hungry, you know, oh, are you short some water? Hey, I'll give you some of my water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how life is. We're here to help each other. You know, help those that are marginalized in society. Always live your corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Feed those that are hungry. Give drink to those that are thirsty. You know, hey, did you lose your blanket? People lose stuff on the Camino. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's something. Here's a blanket. Always donate to the less fortunate and give yourself. Because the greatest gift of living is giving of oneself. And basically, I share my story of the suffering on the Camino that I did, and I try to witness that and say, you know something, life is made up of three things, and three things are you're going to put God first. It's always God, country, and family, and I've always had those three things in my life, and that's from the military too. I was in the military 10 years in reserves.
Right.
And I remember at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, the drill instructor would say you're going to put God first, and if you put God first, everything falls into place. Country second, and your family, okay, and your life – you'll be able to overcome the challenges. Because in the military, too, you're faced challenges.
Sure.
They try to break you and build you, just like the Camino breaks you and builds you. Life is a Camino. Life itself is a Camino. It's about peaks and valleys. Your faith is going to help you deal with the valleys in life because you know there's something better. And what's better is the love of Jesus Christ in heaven.
Are kids today more skeptical?
Kids today, you have to take something that's invisible and make it visible to them.
Right.
So they are skeptical. But they're indoctrinated by the culture. You are dealing with the culture on a daily basis. When you grew up and I grew up, it wasn't like that. It just wasn't like that.
Not at all.
And I think one of the biggest problems that we deal with is social media.
But you can't avoid it. You almost have to.
It's part of our culture now.
You have to get engaged with it.
You have to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
And the key is, I take it to any person. Anybody that's skeptical, you have to get to their heart. If you can get to their heart, you can win them over. And it's not like you're telling them they're wrong. You're trying to meet them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to take them on the journey in a way where you're not like saying, hey, you're wrong. Everybody has a different story. And everybody has their own walk or their own Camino. You just got to kind of meet them where they're at and guide them.
TV shows these days, if you look, they're all the same. The kids are smarter than the parents.
We've gotten away from the family structure. That's the big thing. The family structure has gone away.
Yeah. Father Knows Best. Ward Cleaver. You know,
Ward Cleaver, those
shows. Yeah,
but that's okay. That's okay. That's the way life is sometimes.
Yeah, but it's got to be a challenge. You're not an old man, but it's cataclysmic, the changes in society and in kids.
I am so blessed in the 22 years that I've been teaching to have wonderful kids. Like I always say, the students of Holy Name High School are the heart and soul of Holy Name. They are the best kids. And everywhere I've been, I've always met great kids, and it keeps me young at heart. And to see those kids grow, you know, to grow. They come in ninth grade, they're a senior, and they're ready to go in the world. You know, they're ready to go on to college or the military. That's a great gift to have. And you're very blessed to have that opportunity to work with today's youth. Even though there's struggles, it's not meant to be easy. You just got to meet them where they're at and get to their heart.
Not to spend too much time on the social media, but you have to teach them how to, I guess, use that properly. Because everything's out there.
Technology is good and bad.
Click a button and anything.
It's good and bad. But I always think of the days where you had to go to the library and do a book report. And get three books. You know, do the research. It makes you think. Be an independent thinker. Be an advocate for education. Be your own advocate. It's so easy to take the easy way and just go on Google and Google it. How about doing the research a little bit? Go to a library. Read books. And I think we've lost that. I remember in the summers when I was a kid, you had a book club. You had to read 30 books. And if you read those books, boy, you learned so much from reading.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten away from reading and doing research. And the Internet's just made our life so easy.
Mike Pelsisko, thanks for joining us.
Paul, I'm honored to be on The Rock.
Holy Namer.
Great honor.
Yeah.
Go Rock and go Holy Name.
Mike, thanks very much for joining us. And what's the website for the school?
Well, the website is holynamehs.com. HolyNameHS.com. HolyNameHS.com.
Mike, thanks for joining us, and we hope all people listening will join us each and every week on Sunday afternoon. AM 1260, The Rock, the station, and the name of the show, God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Have a great week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.